it's easy to get distracted. We're like, well, couldn't this be applied to make a lot more profit? And it's like, yes, but at what cost and to whom? And so it's hard not to be distracted by all these other well-meaning and really like great other models, because it's like, you know, we want to be able to sustain what we do as well.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am so excited. Thanks to Kia for powering us to drive across the country from Los Angeles to New York. We get to interview a fabulous female founder who has completely impacted my life in a positive way when I got to enjoy an amazing New York City dinner thanks to her app. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks. Thanks for having me with you. This is so good to be with you.
So, okay, tell me about, first go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are and then tell us about what I got to experience at your house in this amazing dinner.
Well, thank you. So my name is Jen Louie and my background is from Google and Meetup. And I really have been intrigued about how to create really meaningful and brave spaces. So what you got to experience with us was this thing called the Soulful Supper, but we host a whole bunch of things and also launched an app called Kinvite, which you can find at kinvite.co, specifically to find engagements like this. And we're really focused on helping people access all these amazing grassroots opportunities to be well and do good in this world.
And can you spell Kinvite for us just in case?
Sure. It's K-I-N-V-I-T-E. It's like invite with a K.
Cool.
.co.
What inspired the name?
Well, the two things. My co-founder and I had actually both had experience in Japan. So kin in Japanese means gold. And we felt that these invitations are like gold.
They are like gold.
But also the idea of kinship. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So kinship is important to us. We feel that in this day and age, as we're more digitally inclined, those opportunities to build real human kinship are missing. And so we really want to inspire people to reinvigorate that aspect of their life.
I'm so glad you said that because, so I recently watched a TED talk and it's all about how Harvard did a study for the last 75 years following around the same set of people to figure out what is happiness? What has made them happy? And at the end of the study, well, it's not the end yet. They're still following them throughout their whole lives. But what they've realized so far is what makes people happy is relationships. And you're right. Today, in today's digital age, as connected as we are online, supposedly, we feel very disconnected. And so you're able to provide us, facilitate as a community, a global community, these experiences to help us create these more meaningful relationships that I feel so blessed that I got to be a part of one. So let's talk about the dinner. Let's start there. Let's talk about the dinner that I had the blessing to be a part of. Can you walk me through what my experience was and how that's related to the app?
Yeah. Well, it's so great to have you because it was honestly, most of the people who show up, I don't actually know. So it's been a nice way that it's spread through word of mouth and through our app that people are really intrigued with showing up around a theme where the purpose of the Soulful Supper is to really speak from your heart versus your head. And so we lead with that. And the theme that you got to join for was heart, which I thought was such a wonderful theme because it means so many different things to so many different people. We have a few guidelines around that. And part of that is just making sure we give everybody space to speak and that we also act in service of one another. And part of that is allowing, we stay on the same conversation as a whole table. So we don't have like side conversations. And we also make sure that nobody can serve themselves. I remember how impressed you were with that.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
Like, it was so awkward.
Yeah, you really lit up.
Yeah. Like, okay, especially as entrepreneurs, how rare is it that we have someone take care of us? Usually we're the leaders taking care of others. So to have someone serve me, I didn't even know how to accept being served. It was a very beautiful, uncomfortable situation.
Well, I think we want to hold space for a little bit of that discomfort because it's also about asking for what it is that you need. And I think you're right. As like an entrepreneur, so often it feels like such a lonely path.
Yeah.
Because we're not really sure what we need all the time. And oftentimes it is trial by error and it feels like we're just trying to forge this new path. So it's nice to actually take this break and take the time to reconnect with others and actually have other people serve you. And for you to actually look out for other people as well to serve them.
And let's be really clear. So the app, is everybody creating the same exact Soulful Supper experience that I experienced within the app, or are they creating different types of experiences?
No, everybody's creating different types of experiences. Some of them are really similar. So we curate, but open source, all sorts of events that we think are really focused on either civic engagement and activism or building community, or having brave conversations like this, or simply this kind of intersection of wellness and consciousness. So there's all sorts of activities on there. We've been experimenting with things like this dinner because we want to help provide tools for people to facilitate those things better. So that's kind of an extension of what it is that we're doing. But there's other things like, other dinners out there that other people are hosting all the time. Jeffersonian dinners, Ben Franklin circles, bring your own story. We like showcasing all of them because the great thing about New York, as you've probably like recognized being here, is just people are really have hustle. So they're constantly creating new experiences all the time to generate some kind of engagement and connection with people. And so we want to make sure that we're not like beholden to just one type of event or activity, but like to highlight the beauty of like what everybody's innovative process is, as long as they're really trying to get people to connect in a social and personal way.
And is this your first app? Is this your first company?
It is my first app.
Congratulations!
Yeah. It's not my first company, but it is my first app, and it's been exciting to work on it, and it's been great to meet Jesse, who's my co-founder. He's just honestly brilliant. And we've really had fun problem solving together.
And walk us through the journey. What was your first company leading towards? How did you meet Jesse? And then how did you learn how to build an app? But let's start at the beginning. What was your first company? How many companies have you had?
My first company was a long time ago. To be honest, I was really interested in subscription businesses, and it was a subscription sex toy business. Around relationships. A friend of mine who I knew from Burning Man, we were like, why don't people have brave conversations around sex?
Right.
What are our hangups around that? And then we thought, what if we were to introduce things with kind of a story and like introduce people to new products that way, but also kind of introduce them to a new discussion that way? So we folded that a while ago. And then honestly, that was kind of a side gig.
Right.
And I met Jesse a few years ago through mutual friends. We were both actually at a celebratory drinks thing for friends of ours who were graduating from a code academy. And we kind of geeked out on both community building. So we kind of were thinking about like, you know, how do we connect with people and so we've always kind of continued that conversation. It was just really fun. We also, he had worked at Bloomberg and legal stuff, coding for their legal department. different types of solutions. And my background is from both Meetup and Google, working on policy, especially user policies, and oftentimes working for lawyers and with lawyers about how it is that people use and abuse the internet. So it was really fun to talk to him about that. And I think that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of how we really bonded. And then I reconnected with him, inviting him to this dinner, this community dinner that I was hosting specifically to talk about where do we become ethically formed in an increasingly secular world.
And this is before you had your app.
Yeah, this is well before we even talked about having an app or anything like this. I think we, we just were like, how come we don't get together like this? Like, why? Like, what's getting in our way?
And okay, so then you and Jesse are at your soulful dinner. Now, was it even called soulful? It was Soulful Supper. Was it even called that at that point? Or was it just you guys getting together for dinner?
We were just getting together for dinner. I gathered basically a group of 16 strangers who I vaguely knew, or other people had brought other people on. And it was honestly a really amazing and magical dinner. And the conversation was rich and it was deep. And it was, it was just really impressive. And it's kind of funny that we didn't think to do it again for like many, many months later. But it definitely shaped our connection and then kind of shaped the way that we wanted to see, like, can we address this problem of why does it people don't seem to deeply connect like this? Like, why was this so novel to all of us who participated?
Totally. Right. And this used to be like normal to get together and just talk offline. And ever since, you know, the internet came to be, we've become more and more disconnected in physical relationships.
Yeah, I think we feel lonely ultimately.
Yeah, I agree. And so how did you go about creating an app? Like, where do you even learn how to create an app?
Well, I will leave that to Jesse, actually. I've PM'd different tools in the past, but this is the first time creating an app. So I think sometimes when you know how to project manage and also product manage different things, you kind of get a sense of how it is that people, what usability is. And I think for the most part, we've just been problem solving together. But Jesse hadn't coded an app before either. So we started with React Native.
Oh, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So React Native it basically allows you to use, you know, the kind of same kind of JavaScript that you would use to code other things, but it translates it into an app.
And did you guys find that there was a steep learning curve, or was it just like, we got this?
It was a steep learning curve. There's a lot of plugins and a lot of advice out there, but it wasn't as bad. Like, in looking into it, we were like, oh no, neither of us knows how to code explicitly to create a native app. So this was a great suggestion from advisors of ours, like, just try it on a React Native and test it out. So that's what we built it on.
And is it still you and Jesse on the team, or have you grown, or what's your dream?
Yeah, it's me and Jesse on the team. And we have three others working with us from anywhere from part-time to full-time, but mostly as freelancers.
What's your dream? Like, where are you guys right now, and where would you like to be?
Yeah, our dream is honestly to inspire the world to spend their time differently, to really spend their time in ways that are meaningful and purposeful to them. And in addition to that, we want to grow to be a repository for these kind of moments. So we want to provide tools for those who organize these things to really inspire and help scale what it is that people are creating in this world, because it's impressive how hard it is to find these moments. They're out there. And I think that once you experience them, you actually inspire other people to kind of create something similar to that, or something, you know, adjacent to it. So yeah, where we would like to grow the company as a whole, I think we'll always kind of try to run lean for right now. And we'd like to really grow into other cities. So right now we're just in New York, but our plan is to grow certainly into LA and San Francisco and Oregon. So really hitting the West Coast after New York.
And up until this point, people could log into the app and they could find spiritually connective experiences to have meaningful conversation and to really, you know, get to know their local community. But you're also working on making it so the hosts of these experiences can get paid, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Part of it is first getting them found, and then the other part is getting them paid. So yeah, in terms of payment, we think that, you know, a lot of ticketing processors out there are great, but they, for a conscious community, aren't very inclusive. They're very transactional. They don't allow you to do things like pay as you wish. And also, they take a lot of money. They're really expensive. We actually want to be a little bit less greedy and hopefully allow hosts and organizers to keep that money in order to help grow what it is that they're doing, because it costs to build community. And I think one of the things that's a little bit backwards to me is that we don't really reward people who build community or who really, you know, participate in civic engagement. We don't really reward them with like a living wage, honestly.
Yeah,
no. Most people do this as like a side thing that
totally.
They like love. And it's like, well, actually, it's hard to put on those kind of things. It's really hard to connect community. It's a beautiful art form and a really, really tough skill set, which I think should be amply, you know, rewarded. So we're trying to figure out how to get them better paid and for encouraging people to like, you know, really want to give back to them.
And I respect you for doing that. As you know, like I've run We Are LA Tech since 2012 and had the Experience Club since 2015. In 2 years, I put together over 400, you know, experiences like horseback riding and stuff. And people are like, oh, do more. But it being a community leader is like depleting. And a lot of times it is hard to find the wages and the revenue to like make it work. But because we're such heart driven people, we just keep making it happen despite that. And I think what you're doing for people like me in my situation, I think it's really beautiful to think about how do we energize and honor the people leading and hosting, as well as provide a valuable experience for the people attending.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because, yeah, the people who put on these things are brilliant and they're amazing, but they do get so burned out. And I think part of it is because they always have to run multiple things in order to actually live, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's expensive to live in the cities that we live in. Like,
so
you're
true.
From LA, you came here to New York. I mean, it is not cheap to be here.
Not at all. Yeah. And speaking of New York, so you're going to have more Soulful Suppers. How does everybody listening that lives in New York get to find out about yours going on? Where do they look?
Yeah, well, they're now listed in the app. So you can go to Kinvite and find it in the app store. It's the one with the blue and purple background. And we also list it on our website, kinvite.co. So that's where you can usually find them. But we host it the first Sunday of every month. Honestly, we thought it was an experiment. We're like, we're going to do this maybe like three times max and just see if anybody shows up. And so it's kind of amazing that without much promotion at all, people, yeah, regularly come. They just kind of find us. And
now you're going to have to expand it beyond your house.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, there's a time when I'm like, oh, there's too many people in here. Yeah, I think we're open to that if people are really interested in being here.
Yeah, it was just so beautiful. How can people connect with you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, email, whatever you're comfortable with?
Yeah, on all of the social media, where our socials are We Are Kinvite. And for me personally, it's easy to find me on Twitter at Jen Louie.
And that's JenLouie.
That's correct. Jen with two N's, Louie.
Perfect. And one last question, something that actually one of our teammates, Margaret, suggested that I ask, and I think it's cool. What's one challenge you can share with us, something that you overcame and you learned a really valuable lesson? Can you walk us through that challenge and how you overcame it?
Oh, that's a really good question. There's so many challenges. I'd say that one of our big challenges is really setting a direction and not getting distracted by everybody else's advice, because everybody's so well-meaning. But also it's easy to get distracted and derailed from essentially the original purpose and the original mission, especially because we are a mission-driven company. And also, you know, both Jesse and I really believe in what we're doing. It's easy to get distracted. We're like, well, couldn't this be applied to make a lot more profit? And it's like, yes, but at what cost and to whom? And so it's hard not to be distracted by all these other well-meaning and really like great other models, because it's like, you know, we want to be able to sustain what we do as well. But yeah, we sometimes get a lot of opinions, honestly, and everybody has great, beautiful opinions, but sometimes it's hard to just stick to the product at hand. So in some ways, I think we had really, really ambitious goals, and keeping it simple was hard and still continues to be hard, because I think we're brainstorming kind of people and we love building things, and we're trying to simplify and make sure that we distill it down to its core and its essence to solve at least, you know, one or two really big problems.
Totally. I mean, that's something one of my favorite entrepreneurs, Jason Fried, always says with his company Basecamp, is like focus on the core and definitely take the input from the your community, but doesn't necessarily mean you need to implement it right away. You really need to see like what are the core features and the core value and just make that absolutely great. And then the other thing, especially for those new entrepreneurs, is everybody has an opinion. So we have to pay attention to our instincts on what's right for us. We could simply just like take it in, store it away somewhere, let go of what we need to let go and move on. Just because other people have an opinion doesn't mean we need to take action on it.
Yeah, such good advice.
Yeah. Well, it was yours. So.
Yeah. Well, that was mutual, honestly. We're just vibing off of each other. It's good.
I'm so grateful to have spent time with you. I'm looking forward to meeting Jesse one day. Thank you for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. You're an absolute inspiration.
Thank you. Thanks for coming to our table. It was really, really like just amazing to see your reflection on it.
Oh, honestly, it was amazing. It just lit it up. Thank you for letting people serve me. That was wild.
And anytime. I hope people in New York, they should come. If anybody wants to start one somewhere else, I'm happy to talk to them about that as well.
Yeah, Dev, I think we should do one with We Are LA Tech. I think it would be a really powerful experience.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was just telling my business coach, Deborah, and you guys have heard me talk about Deborah a lot, about your dinners and about how important it was to have them in Los Angeles. And I was like, oh, I have the coolest space where we could all sit around the table and this would be great. And there's a kitchen. And yeah. So, and I was like, and she could guide me how to do it exactly like she does it. So
totally. Yeah.
I can't even imagine the reactions when people serve one another. It would be wild.
It's a simple act and a simple ritual, but those things are the best, aren't they? Like they're just, they ground you.
Yeah, it's so cool. Well, you have an amazing rest of the day in the city. And thank you. Be sure to say hello at Women in Tech Show on Twitter, Instagram, all the socials. I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. It would have been a nightmare to drive anything
else.
So are
you going to get rid of like your apartment and just live in this car?
I mean, pretty much.
Right?
Yeah.
And now I know you can like have a slumber party in it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's
Are you
going to
sleep here?
I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. I'm going to go get my pillow and like spread out.
Amazing. Yes.
Awesome. Thanks, Kia.
A huge thank you to Kia for powering this road trip series of the Women in Tech podcast.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.